Welcome back to this Human Nature series podcast on social engineering using Myers-Briggs. I'm back today with an episode on the different roles of the cognitive functions. And in order to understand or enjoy this particular episode, you will have to listen to my episode on cognitive functions first, just to get an understanding of what they are. But if you're new to this and you don't really feel like going through that, then basically cognitive functions are your learning styles, preferred learning styles, and preferred decision making styles. And there's basically 8 of these, 4 of which are judging functions and the other 4 being perceiving functions. So the perceiving functions are how you learn information, and the judging functions are how you make decisions in the world, or how you organize that information. So this is based on Jungian analytical psychology, as well as Myers-Briggs, Socionics, and the whole typology community. And what's important about this information in particular is that once you find out your personality type, which is that 4-letter code that describes your dichotomies, and you've sort of gone through the information and seen how, you know, if it says you're an introvert, what that means, sensing what that means on a sort of basic level. And going into the cognitive functions is where you like really go deep into it and begin to understand how it all connects and how people are able to come up with such accurate descriptions of your type, and how you would be able to perceive this in that way and be able to understand yourself on such a deep level is through connecting these cognitive functions to your personality type. And the way that you do that is by understanding that each of these cognitive functions are positioned in a specific, they have different specific roles within your cognitive function stack. So basically they exist on a hierarchy of your most favorite function to your least favorite function. So that your first 4 are the ones that you use consciously, meaning that you're aware that you're using them. And you're also using them in your ego. They make up your ego. That's what your ego comprises of. Whereas they say that the other 4 functions, not that you do not utilize them, but you don't utilize them consciously. And it's not really your preferred way of doing it. So that is what gets assigned to what they call your shadow.
In effect, don't you use every function?
So here I will be describing, I won't be going deep into the shadow aspect of it. I will briefly go over what that function might look like in those roles. But because we're looking at personality types and understanding your personality, which would be the first step, I don't think it would be that important yet to go into functions that, you know, you don't particularly use, because that would be even more difficult for you to understand. So okay, so also to mention that's important is that the I and the E, that first letter of your MBTI type code, is basically describing an attitude. And it points to the attitude of the cognitive functions that you use. Because we have the cognitive functions of that we use to perceive the world, which is either sensing and intuition. And then we have the ones to make decisions, which is either feeling or judging. And the introvert and extrovert aspect of it is only used to describe those functions and attitudes of them. So basically, the introverted functions are more subjective. They are focused inward. They are sort of they're happening over a they happen and develop over a longer period of time, and so it's also harder for other people to recognize them. So when you're looking within, when you're using subjective thought processes or perception processes, that would be the introverted functions, whereas the extroverted functions are more aimed at looking out. They are happening in the moment, so it's like, yeah, now and never. The information you learn and the decisions that are made quickly, and they're easy to see for the rest of the world. So a lot of people will judge your personality based on these functions because they are much easier to be able to see you using, right? So since we all, like I said, we all use these functions within a stack, it's important to note that if your first function has an introverted attitude, your second one automatically has an extroverted attitude. Your third one then introverted and then extroverted. So they exist as polarities in order to make you a well-balanced being. And it's the combinations and the combinations of these letters that give us clues into the different cognitive functions and the roles that they play within your specific personality type. Right. So the hierarchy, right? So firstly, we all have a dominant function, or they call it the hero function. And that is the function that we utilize the most. It is our favorite function. It's always, always optimistic for us. A lot of the time we use this function so much that we don't even know that other people don't actually utilize that function at all. And I think that would be the cause of a lot of the confusion in the world. Because it's so natural to us that we don't even, I mean, we're so adept and so good at using it that we don't even notice it. So that's where all our strengths would lie, our natural talents, things that come so easy to us, and basically are probably our life purpose somewhere in there embedded as well. And then, of course, we have the second function, or otherwise called the auxiliary function. And this one we use a little bit less often. And since it is the opposite attitude of the first function, we tend to not like to use it so much. But yet it is usually the path towards our growth. So developing and using the second function, because it's usually of an opposite attitude, not usually, always an opposite attitude of the first function, is usually the growth path, is a very good thing for us to do, to develop for our own personal growth, basically. And although we will be quite good at using this function, it won't be as strong as the dominant one, and it won't be our favorite place to be. And also, the same as with the attitudes, if your first function happens to be a perceiving function, one that you use to learn new information, which will either be sensing or intuition, then your second function automatically will be a judging function, such as thinking or feeling of the opposite attitude. So that is how you basically can work out your personality type from the, sorry, your cognitive functions from your personality type code. And also then your third function will also be of a different attitude as well as to your last one. So they work in almost like in pairs, like I said before, to make you into a well-rounded and well-balanced human being, because we all need all of the functions. We all need to find a preferred way of thinking. We all need to find a preferred way of feeling, as well as intuition we all have, and sensation. We're all human beings. Those are the things that make us similar. Whereas it is the attitudes of these and the positions of these functions and our preferences, what these positions mean for our preferences and how we feel about these functions, that makes us so different. So, since we then have a third function, otherwise known as your tertiary function, that is the function that is the third most developed within us. So it would be at the maturity level, according to Personality Hacker, Joel and Antonia, great podcast, I recommend you check it out. According to them, they have a car model, and in this car model they have the driver as a dominant function, and then they have the auxiliary function as a passenger, and back seats they have a 10-year-old tertiary third function, and then the fourth function is like a child function. So they call this the 3-year-old, and I love that model. It makes it very easy to understand. But basically they exist on a hierarchy, and your third and fourth function you will still be using consciously, meaning you'll probably be good at, or you will enjoy and recognize yourself using these, this way of perceiving or judging the world. However, it's not nearly as developed as your first two functions, and will usually be on a polarity with them. So I'll go into polarities of the cognitive functions in a later episode, because there's a lot to say about that. But in the meantime, I just wanted to describe briefly what these roles and these positions of these cognitive functions, and how they basically tie into your MBTI type code and make you that personality type. Also, it is really important for me to mention that we develop these functions as we go along throughout our lives at different times. So in like when we're young, in the beginning in the beginning of our personal development journey, we will usually be quite a lot within our first function, dominant function, using that all the time. So for example, if you are an ESTP personality type, and that would mean that you have sensing as your preferred first function, extroverted sensing in particular. And that you, as a child, you would probably develop that function before moving on to developing any of the other ones. So your preferred way of living your life would probably be in a manner that is learning new information much more than judging it, and also then it's a specific type of information that you are basically taking in, and that is sensory information. So you'll be experiencing the world through your five senses, through touch, smell, taste, and sound, and you'll be experiencing that and developing that function more and more before you move on to moving your second function, which would be a judging function. So but of course, unfortunately, we cannot remain in one function and one mode of living. Obviously you'd have to have ways of making decisions, and as an ESTP, because your first function is extroverted sensing, your second function would automatically be an introverted function. So that it would be an introverted decision-making function, which is introverted thinking. And so, yeah, if you want to use shorthand or the little short terms, I do describe the cognitive functions in this way sometimes. TI, it's a capital T and a small I, would be the way you do that. With SE, that's extroverted sensing. So it's a capital S and a small E. Makes up extroverted sensing. And so this is how they exist. So you, as an ESTP type, you would take in information through your senses, and then in order to make decisions in the world, you would then use an introverted decision-making thinking process that allows you to then deduct, gather that information, organize that information in a logical and systematic fashion that is very personal to you. So because your first function would be extroverted, that's the function that most people would see you develop. That's the function that the world sees. That's where your strengths lie, as I've said before. And also, it would be in the now. It would be in the moment. You're experiencing life in the moment. So you prefer to gather information like in the now. And then your judging function, being an introverted function, would mean that, and this would be the one that you develop later on in life. Not later on in life, but you begin to develop it quite early as well, when you have to start making decisions. And that is that will be your preferred style of doing so. And that would take time, because it's introverted. So it happens over time, and it happens in a systematic way. It's very internal, internally focused, so you do not get any of that information. Sorry, you do not make any of those decisions based on looking outside. It's all based on looking within yourself and finding those answers within yourself, and it has to make sense logically to you. So it's truth, it's logic. That's what that function would be all about. And then also, because we're using ESTP as an example, the third function would then be extroverted feeling, which is FE, capital F and a small E, and it's also a judging function. So that would mean it's the way that you make decisions in the world, and because it comes after your second function, your tertiary function, it's kind of a relief function. A lot of people say that when utilizing this function, it's not recommended that you do so during stressful times, because you're not going to be the best at it. It's just going to be something that you really truly enjoy doing in small amounts when you're trying to relax or enjoy. And it's also your most innocent function, like in a sense. It's usually quite curious, keen, and it's at the level of the 10-year-old, according to Personality Hacker. It's a very innocent function, so you will be very prideful of it. So if you really want to like insult somebody, since this is social engineering we're talking about, do not do this to somebody. Do not insult their third function, I would say. I mean, if you really want to hurt them, go right ahead. Tell an ESTP that they are mean to people and don't have any empathy. Go ahead and say that. That will really ruin your chances. So that's sarcasm, by the way. So mentioning this function, you will end up developing. It depends for you. It's different for everybody, but you will develop it usually after you've developed your first two functions. And like I said, in a manner that is relaxed. And for you, the ESTP, or for that example that we're using, it's extroverted feeling. So it's one that the ESTP goes to when it's optimistic. It's the same attitude as the first function, so it's quite natural for the ESTP to be extroverting. And so this is the function also that you would see within them in the world, because it's extroverted. And this is also where this loop, cognitive function loop, comes in. I'll do a different episode on that, but a lot of the time people have a cognitive function loop that they get stuck in because they're only using their first and third function, since those are their favorite, those are of the same attitude. And like, if you're an introvert, you just want to continue to introvert, so you just ignore your second and last function. But moving on to the last function, usually also called aspirational, but it's also called the inferior function. So it's going to be the one thing that you struggle with your whole life. And awareness of this fact can be quite freeing, actually. So even though it's aspirational in the sense that it's something that you respect when you see it in other people, or it's something that you would like to develop, usually later on in life, if you're not aware of yourself, or if you are not willing to admit certain things to yourself, then you usually will go fight against this function, since it is opposing your first function. But it is a function that you recognize consciously and you utilize and you develop later on in life, and you become more and more interested in developing as you get older. So for the ESTP, this function would be NI. NI. And NI is an introverted function. So that is why it's like so the opposite, polar opposite of the ESTP's first function. And therefore they would not utilize it a lot, but when they see it in others, or as they get older, they tend to develop it more and more, respect it more and more, and realize what a huge role it plays. in their lives. Because funny enough, it's usually during times of crisis, it's usually your last function that just comes out and rescues you somehow out of nowhere, without you even realizing it. And you can develop talent within that preference over time. Okay, and as I said before, I will briefly go through the positions and the roles of the shadow function for those of you who are who have studied a lot more about Myers-Briggs and know about this stuff. But I'm just briefly going to give you the roles of these functions. So since the first four you use consciously, those are the ones that we're going to be looking at, that are make up your personality type. You still are influenced by the other four functions, which you use unconsciously. And your function number five would be in the role of opposing. So it's used mainly as like a defense. It's how you might become stubborn, uncooperative, unfriendly, rude, or obstructive. The sixth function is usually in the critical parent role. And it's like that voice in your head that is like criticizing you every time that you're doing something bad. The seventh one would be the trickster, and the role of that one is to deceive and distort what you experience or think you experience. And then your eighth function is called your demon function, or also a transformative role. And this can be very this can be the one that comes out when you're being the most destructive. And usually, like I said, these are this is the shadow side of you, so it is not something you are even aware of. So you'd have to be very, very self-aware in order to be able to admit to these functions. But that's why it helps to understand your ego, so that you can then tackle your shadow, understanding that it does exist. And the eighth function, however, can also be very transformative and propel you to greater personal growth and maturity. Because most often whenever you're going to be using these functions, it's during times when you're forced to use them, because they are not your preferred ways of learning information and making decisions. So it's just not going to be pretty. So they say that your first function, your strongest function, is usually well developed by the age of 13. The second function is usually developed by age 21. Then your dominant and auxiliary function probably describe 90% of your personality type. So you don't really need to worry about the other ones if you're typing other people. But your third function is then, and your fourth function are the ones that are constantly developing as well, simultaneously. It's like your tertiary function is never going to be all that strong for you, but you'll probably find that it's very relaxing and recreational for you. So although it's not great for a choice of career, it might be a great hobby choice. Whereas your fourth function is also called your doorway to your unconscious, and it is actually where all your energy comes from. So it's full of potential. Since it is a polar opposite of your first function, looking into it and understanding how it behaves and how it creates balance within your personality is really, really going to help you understand your personal growth and achieve what you aspire to achieve. So yeah, that's it on the roles of the cognitive functions. I'm sure in future episodes it'll be a lot easier. I mean, there'll be a lot more that we'll be going over, and then you could understand these on a more deeper level. But thank you for listening, and I hope that this was informative in some way. Please do leave a message or question, and if you need a typing session, not sure of your personality type, don't trust the test, feel free to email me at ange@mbti.co.za. Till next time, bye. Thank you.